Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our meditation this morning is Psalm 28, which we just chanted and to which you are invited to refer during the remarks. You may be seated. Now, there are at least two important observations that I'd like to make about this morning's psalm. The first one is this. In the psalm, David appears to experience what looks very much like a resurrection. That's as good a way as any to describe what seems to happen to David in this psalm. David moves from death to life. Look at the first half of the psalm. David cries out because Yahweh seems to have turned away from him in silence. And that terrifies David. If you remain silent, I will be like those who have gone down to the pit, he says. Yahweh's silence is death to David. The words of the psalm, then, are the words of a man in the grip of death, a man whose mind is beset with terrors as he cries out to his God for mercy. Notice that David is especially afraid of being reckoned as one of the wicked. David knows their fate, and he knows that he will share it if Yahweh does not speak to him with a word of grace. And David is suffering greatly at that notion. Though alive physically in the absence of God, David nevertheless is facing death. But then suddenly, almost unexpectedly, David appears to come to life. What better way to explain David's exuberance in the second half of the psalm? Yahweh's silence was killing David. But now the joy of his salvation has been restored to him. Yahweh must have touched him with his life-giving word. And so the newly resurrected David praises Yahweh, his strength and his shield. Yahweh is a stronghold. He is salvation for his anointed one, David cries, with a confident and lively faith. New life for one who thought himself dead. That's the first observation about this psalm. Now, the second observation is this. Israel's fate is intimately connected, inextricably bound to the fate of the anointed king. Yahweh had joined Israel to David when he made his covenant with David, and he promised that he would make a place for his people Israel, and that they would never tremble in fear again, and that he would give David rest from all his enemies, and that David's kingdom would be an eternal kingdom. The promise to David was as much for Israel as it was for David. And so, in the last two verses of our psalm, that same connection is assumed. Notice that in verse 8, the anointed one is paralleled with Israel. The Lord is the strength of his people, a fortress of salvation for his anointed one. And in verse 9, the plea rings out, save your people and bless your inheritance. Shepherd them and lift them up forever. As David goes, so goes Israel. And if that is the case, then when Israel prayed this psalm, these words, in a manner of speaking, became their words. And David's experience, in a manner of speaking, became their experience. The psalm was not only David's cry as he suffered, but also Israel's. His cry that Yahweh not turn from him in silence, and that he hear his prayer for mercy, becomes their cry. And David's vindication, his salvation, becomes theirs too. As David's suffering turns to joy, so does Israel's spirit soar to new life. David's salvation means salvation for all of God's people, as the psalm itself suggests. And this helps us to understand our connection to the psalm. Because you see, the death and resurrection that lies in the background of David's words anticipates what literally happened to the seed of David, in whom God did fulfill all the covenant promises that he had made with David. The underlying reality connecting David and Christ is the fact that the Father actually turned away in silence from his own son too. That anointed one, the Messiah, died when his father actually turned away from him in silence as he hung on the cross. And it is just as true that, like David, God vindicated his anointed one when Jesus was raised from the dead. Yahweh, so to speak, helped his anointed, and so Christ was not disgraced and humiliated, but was glorified. Our fate, like Israel's, has been intimately connected with this seed of David. We have been connected, of course, through the covenant that God made with us at our baptism. Here, Paul specifically tells us that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death. And he says that if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. In baptism, we have died with Christ, the anointed one, and we will be raised as he was raised. His death means our death, and his resurrection means our resurrection too. We read this ancient psalm as baptized heirs of the kingdom. In the first half of the psalm, the anointed one suffers the pains of death, and when we read his words, we die with him. Yahweh has turned away from him in silence. My God, why have you forsaken me? And that death is our death too. Perhaps as we say the words, a touch of fear enters our hearts, as well it should. The fear of being reckoned with sinners and dragged away with the wicked. The fear of being defeated by our enemies. The words are those of one who is helpless, pleading to the only one who can help. But in the second half of the psalm, the anointed one has been raised from death to life, and we have been raised with him. Who will contend with me? Isaiah's servant asks. Let us stand together. Who are my adversaries? Who will declare me guilty? You see, the psalm exudes the same note of post-resurrection triumph. As we speak the words of the psalm, courage replaces fear, joy replaces sorrow, life replaces death. The words are the words of one who has received a great deliverance. We won't be dragged away with the wicked. No one will be able to declare us guilty. And so you see, the psalm, in a manner of speaking, reflects our experience. We have died and been raised with the anointed one. His fate is ours. Our baptism promises it. And furthermore, I think, as we say this psalm, the words actually bring us from death to life. The words work in us the death and the life that is behind them. By moving us from fear to confidence and from sorrow to joy, we move from the environment of death to the environment of life. Yahweh wounds in order to heal. He kills in order to make alive. And thereby, our faith is strengthened. And we receive a new and living hope by which we praise Yahweh for all the great things that he has done for us. Amen. Now may the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ, which passes all our understanding, keep your hearts and minds together in Christ Jesus. Amen.